The Lord, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, out of Southside, Evansville, Texas. Today is June 19, 2017, or the city in 25, 2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, Since Yahshua Came Into My Heart. What a wonderful change in my heart has been wrought since Yahshua came into my heart. I have blinded my soul for this long I have sought since Yahshua came into my heart. Since Yahshua came into my heart. Yahshua came into my heart. There's a joy on my soul like the seed of her flow. Since Yahshua came into my heart. I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure. Since Yahshua came into my heart, and no dark clouds of doubt fill my pathway obscure. Since Yahshua came into my heart, since Yahshua came into my heart, since Yahshua came into my heart. Blessed joy for my soul at the seed of the Lord. Since Yahshua came into my heart. There's a light in the valley of death now for me. Since Yahshua came into my heart. In the gates of the city beyond I can see, since Yahshua came into my heart. Since Yahshua came into my heart. Since Yahshua came into my heart. There's a joy on my soul like the seed of love. Yahshua came into my heart. I shall go there to dwell in the city I know. Since Yahshua came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy as on will I go. Since Yahshua came into my heart. Yahshua came into my heart. Since Yahshua came into my heart. Let it joy my soul like the seed of the Lord. Since Yahshua came into my heart.
Part 2 of God That Speaks by Catherine Brompton. We're on page, the top of page 8 of her booklet. And we're going to do a little review from our last study on a rod that speaks. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of the knowledge and of the fear of the Yahweh. And he shall make him of the quick understanding the fear of the Yahweh. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Isaiah 11:1-4. All right, now, who is this person going to do this? This is going to be the branch that comes out of the rod that came out of the stem of Jesse. Stem of Jesse is Seventh-day Adventist Church. The rod is the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist Church, the Shepherd Rod, 1930-1970, and the branch says Gilead Center. The Isaac branch by Verda Sethi Johnson, 1970-2003, and that's who we represent. We came out as the purified branch out of Gilead Center, 2003. For the stem of Jesse, rod, and branch is with the representation of the three individual messages given for the three different feeding pastures at the three different times during the three steps of the genuine movement of the Seventh-day Adventist, 1850 to 2003. The reason I put 1850 is because that was the birth of the testimony that started the first 40-year period for the first feeding pasture for the Adventists, and that was named Bashan, 1850 to 1890. Bashan, SDA, 1850-1890, Rod, Mount Carmel Center, Waco, Texas, Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, 1930 to 1970. Shepherd Rod, Beachy Hollow, Waco, Texas, had a 40-year period. Had two leaders, Beachy Hollow and Ben Roden, and the branch Gilead Center, 1970-2003, with the prediction for the coming on the scene and the future of the prophetic time in the latter days, 12th parabolic hour, that we are living in now since 2003. For the stem of the Jesse represents the Seventh-day Adventist congregation, 1850-1890. For the rod that sprang out of Jesse, SDA congregation, 1930, is with the representation of the Shepherd's Rod message until the Seventh-day Adventist congregation, 1930-1970. And the Isaac Branch message by the Verda Sethi Johnson at the Kermit, Texas, 1970-2003, is with the representation of the teaching of the sanctuary system restored unto the SDA. For the fulfillment of the 2300 days prophecy about the William Miller as the first day Adventist, 1833-44, is with the first angel's message by the announcing of the hour of his judgment has come, Revelation 14:6, and the cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14, 1844, and by the new and living way of the Hebrews 10:9-22. But actually, William Miller didn't introduce the new and living way. Elijah David introduced the new and living way, 2002 at Kermit, Texas, given the commission as the fifth group of laborers emerging at the end of the 11th parabolic hour with the message of the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-22. However, therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Yahshua by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of Yahweh, let us draw near with a true heart and the full assurance of the faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with the pure water. For the Yahshua came and died according unto the Scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15:3, and went back to heaven, and is there making offering for us today by the sprinkling of his blood, that is to say, by the new and living way, or by a new and living way, that is to say, by a new and living way. And that's beautiful. And in that day there shall be a rooted of the Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. Unto it shall the Gentile seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth, Isaiah 11:10-12. Since we know that Jesse represents the Seventh-day Adventist congregation, then this root that grows out of the Jesse, SDA, is none other than the new rod message that is to stand for an instant of the people. of the people. We learned earlier that an ensign represents power and government. And we also have learned, we should know by now, from our past teachings, we've taught plenty on it, that the house of David, as V.T. Hall pointed out, Yahshua, the invisible king, and his visible king, antitypical David, represents the ensign. He says those two people and the government of heaven that they stand for. It's a banner. We learned earlier that an ensign represents power and government, and it stands to reason that the new Lord Messiah is going to be the power and government of the Yahweh's kingdom. Let's do that again. Of the Yahshua's kingdom. I know the word Yahweh is spelled here, but this is Yahshua's kingdom. It's like when David sat upon the throne of David, it's called David's kingdom. When Solomon sat upon David's throne, it is called Solomon's kingdom. This is beautiful identification, folks, because when we do things like this, we're getting right to the technical aspect of it. Because when you say Yahweh's kingdom, you know you're thinking about the Father, and you're thinking about, well, He's in heaven, and His kingdom is here on earth, run by His people. We don't realize that He sends His Son down here, and gives unto Him the throne of His earthly father David. That's in Luke 1:31, 1:32, 1:33. Let's continue. And for the sanctuary system, along with the daily and all the feast days and all the statutes and judgments of the law of Moses, shows the power and government of the purified kingdom that is being set up here on earth. Yahweh is to assemble the outcasts of the Israel, being represented here by the DSDA organization. The daily is the heartbeat of the sanctuary system of the true worship. And in Jeremiah 31:31, we read that Yahweh will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Verse 33 says, after those days, saith the Yahweh, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. How does He write it in our inward parts and in our hearts? Is it not a daily coming before the throne, just as the children of Israel came daily to the sanctuary and brought an animal when they had sinned? They had to come to the door of the sanctuary twice daily. There's your daily that we do today and try to honor, we believe in, to meet the priest who was the type of Yahshua and bring an offering for forgiveness and any sins they had committed. You notice that they did not make an offering until after they had sinned. See Exodus 29:38-39. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar. Two lambs of the first day by day continually. For the lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at the evening as sacrifice. That's at the ninth hour of the day. The first lamb is offered at the third hour of the day in the morning, and the second one is offered at the ninth hour in the afternoon. In all instances, Talmud daily denotes aspects of the tabernacle or temple service that were in the operation continually, regularly or daily, in the contradistinction unto the special rituals performed at the specific season, as the Passover or the Day of the Atonement, or for the individuals. Thus the seven lamps were never extinguished all at once. The fire on the altar of the burnt offering was never forbidden to go out. For the bread of the presence was always upon the table. A lamb was offered every morning and every evening, and incense burned upon the altar of the incense simultaneously. The daily or continual service represented Yahweh's continual beneficial provision for man, and pointed forward symbolically unto Yahshua's ministry as the Messiah, high priest who ever liveth to make intercession for us, Hebrews 7:25. Seventh Day Adventist Scripture Dictionary, page 242. Behold the day, behold it is come, the morning is gone forth, the rod hath blossomed, pride hath buttered, Ezekiel 7:10. So the Aaron's rod that buttered and put on blossoms and fruit was a type of the new rod message, budding today and putting forth fruit, which is the gathering of the vanguard, the 144,000, and then the great multitude of which no man can number. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the barn of the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Yahweh. As for you, O house of Israel, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, go ye, serve ye every one his idols, and hereafter also ye will not hearken unto me, but pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. Ezekiel 20:37-39. Yahweh is to bring them under the guidance of the rod message and teach them his ways, which is the bar of the covenant, the law of Moses. Let's do that again. For the Yahweh is for the bringing them under the guidance of the rod. In other words, there was a message by Moses, and teach them his ways. And what does it say in Psalm 77:13, Thy way, O Yahweh, is in the sanctuary. And bring them into the bond of the covenant, the law of Moses. And that's in Ezekiel 20:33-37. And as we observe to do all these things, then we will be united with him. Found in Greetings, Volume 1, Numbers 27 and 7 to 8. For the Yahweh's voice crieth unto the city, and the men of wisdom shall see thy name, who the rod and who hath appointed it. The Yahweh declares that his voice is crying unto the city, the SDA, and that the men of wisdom shall see his name and shall hear the rod and him who hath appointed it. Manifestly, this rod is capable of speaking and of being heard. Thus the command, hear ye the rod. So far as we know, the only rod that is ever spoken is the shepherd's rod. Moreover, it was not the results of any studious searching of the scriptures that the book was so named, for the author was not familiar with the scripture, nor did he have any understanding of the book of the Micah at the time the title of shepherd's rod was given to the book. I, for one, cannot overlook, neglect, or reject the Yahweh's counsel in this matter. I must hear the rod of him who has appointed. If I expect to have a home in his kingdom. Now, this is a good statement because, you see, we entered into the purified beginning of the purified kingdom in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, when we were separated from the sinful kingdom of Gilead Center, of the kingdom of Esau. And the kingdom of David was separated from the kingdom of Esau in 2002. And we heard the rod. My wife and I and Alan DeLong at that time heard the rod. And we responded to it. And consequently, Yahweh had a home waiting for us 400 miles east. And we got up and had to separate out of there. We had to sell our home and everything we had down there and pull up. And lo and behold, we came into a place that Yahweh brought us to, and he had a home waiting for us. So we responded to the rod that speaks. And we're at the place where he brought us to, And we designate this as the place of the beginning of His kingdom, the everlasting kingdom of David, the everlasting kingdom of heaven here on earth. I cannot afford to do otherwise. Elohim helping me, for He Himself declares that if I would know how to come before Him, what offering is acceptable to Him, how to do justly, how to love mercy, and how to walk humbly before Him, I must hear the rod that crieth unto the city. Now it is up to all of us individually to decide whether we should hear the voice of the man or the voice of the Elohim's rod. In other words, when this message came to Catherine, it was right the year that we were thrust out of Kermit after we were separated from Kermit, and we had been listening to the voice of man for 33 years. Apparently we had been, even though Verlis Johnson put out a lot of inspired information. I mean, he put out a lot of inspired truth, especially Creation Calendar, that laid the foundation for the kingdom that we are now enjoying true time with. But it ended up that we were listening to the voice of man, and that we had to be separated from that. We had to listen to the voice of the rod. This is now everyone's test, and it must be everyone's concern for one of these two voices, the voice of men or the voice of Elohim's rod, to determine everyone's destiny either for eternal death or for eternal life. Since this message announces that the great and dreadful day of Yahweh is at hand, that the judgment for the living is about to begin, and indeed when Catherine wrote this article, put it together, the judgment living had already begun. She says it's about to begin, but it had already begun. And since Isaiah the prophet was given a vision of the Yahweh moving into his temple for this judicial work, the prophet's experiences while he was yet in vision must therefore represent the experience of the Elohim servants who are to announce the day of the Yeshua. His experience and commission must be our experience and commission. I also heard the voice of Yahweh saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." Time agreed by 1 page 27-78. We should put the Isaiah chapter 6 also in there. Isaiah 6, and that's about probably verse 4, 5, and 6, where Isaiah is having this vision. He saw Yahshua high and lifted up, and the question was asked, "Who shall we send?" And Isaiah said, "Well, here am I, send me." So he was prepared and ready to go, and so that's all Yahshua wanted to hear. And so he said, "Okay, go." That's what he's telling us today, is today, through the V.T. Holofield, volume 1, page 27, 7, and 8. "Whom shall I send?" That was the question mark. Are you going to hear the new rod message that Yahweh has sent to inform you of the day and time of the judgment for the living? Okay, so now the new rod message is what we're teaching. The old rod message is what Brother Johnson was teaching of the house that he was sitting in on the throne of David, but it was called the house of Esau. And he was teaching, if he taught the rod at all, he taught the old rod message. We're teaching the new rod message, that Yahweh has sent to inform you of the day and time of the judgment for the living, and I have already published that when that began. Are you so afraid of the term rod that you're going to reject it? Have you ever on your own looked into what the rod teaches and see if it might by any chance of your imagination be the truth? Just what are we people afraid of? It can't be error because all of their quotes are either from Sister White or from the scriptures. Now I have a comment to make here. The Adventists have had many years of that old shepherd rod being crammed down their throats. Only for those that rejected it For those who accepted the rod of the Seventh-day Adventist, it was like fresh provender meat in due season. It was like finding the pearl of great price, because the Adventists accepted the rod when it came on the scene back in the 30s and on. They gave great glowing testimonies of how they had it was like finding the pearl of great price for them. But for those that rejected it, they called it being crammed down their throats. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach you the rod from the Scriptures. When I get through with this here series here, I'm going to just go to the Scriptures. And I'm just going to teach you the rod from the Scriptures. And then if you can take that, fine. If you can't take that, well then, you have the same problem that the Seventh-day Adventists had with the original Shepherd's Rod message. Those that rejected it, you'll have the same problem they did. Whether it comes straight out of the Holy Scriptures or whether it comes straight out of secondhand writings from a compilation of the Rod. Let us go ahead. For the Yahweh has shown me that men in responsible positions are standing directly in the way of His work, because they think the work must be done and the blessing must come in a certain way, and they will not recognize that which comes in any other way. My brethren, may the Yahweh place this matter before you as it is. If Elohim does not work as men plan or as they wish, He moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. Why reject the Yahweh's method of working? Because it do not coincide with our ideas. Elohim has His appointed channels of life, but these are not necessarily the minds of any particular set of men. When all shall make their appointed place in the Elohim's work, earnestly seeking wisdom and guidance from Him, then a great advance will have been made toward letting light shine upon the world. When men shall cease to place themselves in the way, Elohim will work among us as never before. Volume 5 of Testimonies, page 726. Why reject the Yahweh's method of working? Because they do not coincide with our ideas. Elohim has His appointed channels of light, but these are not necessarily the minds of any particular set of men. Yahweh is not going to work the way we want Him to. When He gives inspiration to someone to give His message to His people, He knows the hearts and chooses the one that is most humble and qualified for Him to use. It is not always the way we think it should be, or the one that we should choose for the job. Kind of Greetings, Volume 1, Number 27, Micah 6, 1 and 2. Hear the rod, what the Yahweh said, arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Yahweh's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth, for the Yahweh hath the controversy with His people, and He will plead with Israel. It is noticed here that the messenger is to contend before the mountains and the hills. Hear His voice. The mountains and hills are figures of kingdoms and governments. He is contending with the kingdoms and governments, not against them. That is, He is to proclaim that Yahweh has a controversy with His people, that He is asking for a thorough reformation among them, and that they are not willing and cooperating. This is a latter-day prophecy and is to be fulfilled in our day, our time, in a time that inspiration by the revelation of these prophecies calls for a reformation among Elohim's people. The prophecies are now being unsealed for the first time since they were written, and the reformation is already on foot. the fact that instead of gladly accepting the freshly revealed message, they are creating a controversy throughout the Adventist churches. Very obviously indicates that now is the time to contend before the mountains. Now is the time for them, the mountains, to hear Yahweh's controversy with his spirit. For the words, arise, contend thou before the mountains, let the hills hear thy voice, imply that hitherto for his voice has been heard only locally, but that now he must meet the situation, even though the mountain hills and the strong foundation of the earth hear that Yahweh is having a controversy with his people. Until now we have been merely trapping with Yahweh's adversaries, and now we must get down to business, regardless who hears it. His people must now forever turn from man's sins, whatever they be, and confine their faith and hope in thus saith Yahweh, regardless through whom he says it, or else they lose out. As followers of Yahweh, we should hearken unto his heart-rending plea for revival and reformation. Micah 6:3, O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. Think of it, a great and infinite Yahweh pleading with such insignificant and sinful human beings as we, wanting to know why they are against him. You say that you would not be as they were when the Savior walked the earth, that you would accept him and follow him, but when you reject present truth that he has sent by his chosen messenger, you are rejecting him. Remember, he did not come in the way they expected him to back then, and just so it is today. It's with the ones that he has chosen to preach the gospel unto all the world. Matthew 24:13-14. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world for a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. What gospel of the kingdom was he talking about here? What was the main reason that he came and walked among men? Was it not to show men how to be righteous? For he healed the sick, raised the dead, told people to go and sin no more. We see by this that man can be perfect, and there is something that we are supposed to do on our part to be like him. Paul says to die to self daily. How is this accomplished? The divinely ordained system of the true worship was set up in the beginning and is carried on down until the end of time. But the only thing changed at the crucifixion is we now have to come unto the throne of grace with our prayers and meet with the Father Yahweh and the Son Yahshua at the morning 9 a.m. and the evening 3 p.m. time of the daily offering in the heaven. Hebrews 10:20-22, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. And I'm going to read that again. I'm going to add a couple of words there, or one word at least, a preposition. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, through his and in his flesh. I know the scriptures don't say that, but folks, when you put that preposition in there again, through the veil, that is to say, through and in his flesh, where his blood is flowing freely, and it's a fresh flow of blood on a daily basis. That's why it says that through the veil. And having a high priest over the house of Elohim, let us draw near with a true heart and the full assurance of the faith in the blood of the Yahshua, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience in our bodies washed with the pure water. Now, I added that in the faith in the blood of Yeshua, I added that because that just gives you stronger and more clarity as to showing that it's a literal sprinkling of blood. And if I don't put the blood in there, we only have faith and sprinkle. We don't have the blood anywhere. But you got to put that blood in there and bring it to people's minds always when you're dealing with Yeshua offering up forgiveness on a daily basis. It's only after you confess and then He receives your prayers with incense and off the altar and by the blood of sprinkling. He has to go through that process Himself in order to get rid of your sins for you in the heavenly sanctuary above. On a daily basis, folks. Daniel 8:13-14. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said, unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of the desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host of the trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Okay, Daniel 8:18-19. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me, set me upright, and he said, behold, I will make thee know which shall be the last end of the indignation, where the time appointed the end shall be. Now, folks, we've got an appointed time for the end to come. Are we making sure that we're going to be ready? Are we checking all four corners and make sure there's no loose ends anywhere? Folks, this is what the ordained system of true worship is all about on a daily basis, folks. This is our insurance policy. This is our guarantee of eternal life. This is where we get our blessings from. Strict obedience to the ordained system of the true worship. How else are we going to set an example and teach others to do the same thing if we're not 100% ourselves doing it? Yahweh knows. He knows what we need. And that's the reason why He said, the reason why He ordained the true worship. Alright, Daniel 8:26-27. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which is told, is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted, and was 7 days. Afterwards I rose up and did the king's business. And I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Daniel was given a vision of the day, and the vision troubled him deeply. So he fainted and fell asleep because of it. An angel touched him and set him upright and told him the interpretation of the dream. Daniel knew that without the observance of the day, man would have no salvation. He saw it trample underfoot and wanted to know how long before it would be restored to operation for the people. The sanctuary had to be cleansed before the daily would be set up again to operate for the complete forgiveness of sins and purification of the kingdom in the latter days. For the true understanding of the Yeshua's coming to be born, die, and rise to life again as a lamb that takes away the sins of the world could not be completely understood until the full understanding of the daily in the sanctuary on earth and in heaven had been revealed. Because the Seventh-day Adventist, the Shepherd God, and the 11th hour Apostolic Sabbatarian congregation did not institute the daily, and they were not given the understanding of the meaning of the importance of it. It was brought to the 11th hour apostolic congregation of Robert W. Johnson, a term of Texas, in 1970. And they tried to practice it for a while, but put it aside. Later, when Yahweh told them to once again institute it, they rose up in opposition to it, and in the final end, the congregation experience a major shaking and separation. From our study of the scriptures and Sister White's writings and Brother Hollis, we have learned that without the David, you cannot come to the feast days of the clean record and partake of them, because to do so, you do it unworthily. It is an abomination if you partake of the Passover if you have not practiced the daily. Also, on the Day of the Atonement, your sins are not blotted out because you have not kept your record pure of all sins on a daily basis all year long. The Scriptures teach that when you come to the Day of the Atonement and you haven't had your sins blotted out through the year, then on that day you are cut off for the year, giving you another chance to make restitution and be prepared for the next Day of the Atonement. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 353 and 354. As the priest morning and evening entered the holy place at the time of the incense. Alright, let's look at that again. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 353 and 354. As the priest morning and evening entered the holy place at the time of the incense, daily sacrifice was ready to be offered upon the altar and the court without. This was a time of intense interest unto the worshipers who assembled at the tabernacle. Before entering into the presence of Yahweh, through the administration of the priests, they were to engage in the earnest searching of the heart and confession of sin. They united in the silent prayer with their faces towards the holy place. Thus their petitions ascended with the cloud of the incense, while faith laid hold upon the merits of the promised Savior prefigured by the atoning sacrifice. The hours appointed for the morning and the evening sacrifice was regarded as sacred, and they came to be observed as a set time for the worship throughout the Jewish nation. And when in a latter time the Jews were scattered as captives in distant lands, they still at the appointed hour turned their faces toward Jerusalem and offered up their petitions unto Elohim of Israel. And this custom of the Messianians, have an example for the morning and evening prayer, while Yahweh condemns a mere round of ceremonies without the spirit of worship. He looks with great pleasure upon those who love him, bowing morning and evening to seek pardon for sins committed and to present the request for the needed blessing. Desire of Ages, page 765 and 757. When the loud cry, "It is finished," came from the lips of the Yahshua, the priests were officiating in the temple. It was the hour of the evening sacrifice. That's at the ninth hour. That's the sacred hour of the day. The lamb representing Yahshua had been brought to be slain. Clothed in his significant and beautiful dress, the priest stood with the lifted knife, as did Abraham when he was about to slay his son. With the intense interest, the people were looking on. But the earth trembles and quakes, for the Yahweh himself dwells here. With a rending noise, the inner veil of the temple is torn from top to bottom by an unseen hand thrown open to the gaze of multitude, a place once filled with the presence of Yahweh. In this place, the Shekinah had dwelt. Here the Yahweh had manifested his glory by the mercy seat. No one but the high priest ever lifted the veil separating this apartment from the rest of the temple. He entered in once a year to make an atonement for the sins of the people. This veil is rent in twain. The most holy place of the earthly sanctuary is no longer safe. Okay, here we quote from the sanctuary service by the Emmett and Driston on page 33. There was no ark in the most holy. that had disappeared at the time of Nebuchadnezzar's invasion. Tradition states that holy men took the ark and secreted it in the mountains to save it from falling into the profane hand. In any event, the most holy place was vacant except for a stone which served as a substitute for the ark on the Day of the Atonement. Then on page 35, Herod's temple was the same size as Solomon's temple. That is, the building proper was about 90 feet in length by 30 in width. The holy place is separated from the most holy by a partition about a foot and a half in thickness, with an opening before which hung the veil mentioned in Matthew 27:51, which was rent at the death of the Yeshua. There was no furniture in the most holy place, but only the stone left over from the rubble temple, even upon which the high priest placed his censer on the Day of the Atonement. So the furniture in the holy place is probably the same as in the Solomon's temple. When the Yeshua died, the animal sacrificed in it, by the veil of the temple ringing, as the priest had the knife raised to slay the lamb, and the earthquake shaking the earth showed that the animal sacrificial system was brought to an end. But the lamb of the Yahweh had just died. The animal sacrifice had come to an end forever, and the little lamb that was about to be slain got away. Besides the Passover, the Jews were in the process of celebrating it off 3 days. So Yeshua had celebrated it at the right time with his disciples, and that was on a Thursday night. This was the 15th day of the first month of Evan, just 2 days before he was, one day before he was hung on the cross, on a Friday, and instituted the new Passover supper with the wine and the unleavened bread. When the veil of the temple rent, the most holy, was thrown open for the people to look in, the place no longer radiated with the glory of Yahweh. It was no longer sacred and no longer needed here on earth. For Yahweh had brought it to an end. For Yahshua had brought it to an end when he died. When Yahshua rose and went back to heaven to offer the wave sheaf, the doors of the heavenly sanctuary were open and in readiness for the Savior, Yahshua, to perform the daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly system of the worship. For the Yahweh shook the earth to open the graves, and at the resurrection of Yahshua, the dead arose, and he took them back to heaven with him as a wave sheaf offering of the first fruits of the righteous dead. They had died under the Old Testament system of the worship. Not all that arose went to heaven with them. Some went into the city and proclaimed Yahshua was risen, and the fact that they had risen with them. For the scriptures did not teach that the morning and evening sacrifice times were nailed to the stake, or nailed to the cross. It does teach and prove that the animal sacrifice is done away, and Yahshua set up the new and living way for the salvation through his blood. And that's Hebrews 10:20. Yahshua was the lamb that was sacrificed for the sins of many under the Old Testament law without the practice of the daily. We do not have a system of the divine origin for the forgiveness of the sins that prepares us for the yearly feast of the Yahshua. Daniel knew the importance of the daily, and the vision he was given made him sick because of the fact that the daily was to be done away with for a period of time. He understood the restoration of it for the end time, and we now have the true understanding of this. For the restoration of the daily opened the way for the cleansing of the sanctuary, for the beginning of the judgment of the living. For the judgment of the living is for the purification time. for the purifying of the congregation, for the purifying of the people, for the setting up of a purified kingdom that shall never pass away, for the setting up of the porters at the gate, so that nothing unclean can enter. For this is what the daily is all about, folks. It is the divinely ordained system of the true worship that has been restored, was restored by the brother Stephen Johnson, and re-restored by the Elijah David. Are you ready for the purification of your soul and body, and be a righteous person, and have the everlasting gospel to preach into the world? This daily is the everlasting gospel that is to be preached to all the world, and then shall the end come. When you understand the reason for the crucifixion was for the daily sprinkling of the blood of Yahshua and the heavenly sanctuary for the remission of our sins, instead of the animal sacrifice, then you will understand the complete sanctuary system. You will understand that our sins were not covered at the crucifixion, as we had not lived to commit sin. You cannot sprinkle God's blood. Remember that the blood of Yahshua spilled on the ground when he died, just so the animal blood sprinkled on the horns of the altar and was poured out around the altar of the sacrifice. For the tree Yahshua was crucified on was an altar of sacrifice when Yahshua died. There was no priest there to catch the blood when he died. The priest caught the animal's blood when they slew the lamb and then poured it around the altar when the lamb was burned. When you go back to the Old Testament, you see that the people only brought a lamb for the sacrifice when they had sinned and not before. That law was not changed and never will be. For the religious services, the prayers, the praise, the penitence, confession of sin, as sin from the true believers as incense unto the heavenly sanctuary, the passage through the corrupt channels of humanity, they are so defiled that unless purified by the blood, they can never be of any value to Yahweh. For they have sinned not in the spotless purity, and unless the intercessor who is at the Yahweh's right hand presents and purifies all by his righteousness, it is not acceptable unto Yahweh. All incense from the earthly tabernacle must be moist with the cleansing drops of the blood of Yahshua. He holds before the Father the censer of his own merits, in which there is no taint of the earthly corruption. He gathers into this censer the prayers and the confession of his people, and with these he puts his own spotless righteousness. Then perfumed with the mercy of Yahshua's propitiation, the incense comes up for the Yahweh, holy and entirely acceptable. Then gracious answers are returned. That's found in Melody White from First Selected Messages, page 344. This shows the blood of Yahshua sprinkled in the sanctuary, and that Sister White had the truth on the operation of it, but it was not for her to set it into the operation. Truths are given unto the prophets and they write them, but the understanding of them are hidden until the time of the restoration and institution of them arrive. Just as the vision of the daily being done away was shown to Daniel the prophet, but the time of the restoration was hidden from him. He was sorely distraught over the idea of it being done away. He wanted to understand, but it was not for his time. Just so it was with Sister White. Brother Hardis wrote things that he did not have the full understanding of the meaning. But at the right time, the understanding was given to the prophet on the scene of the action. Many things were written in the scriptures that were not to be understood until the end. Okay, it says, for the sanctuary was cleansed in 1844 for the beginning of the judgment for the dead. And because the people are dead, they can't perform the daily ritual of the worship, so it was not set up under Sister White, Brother Harder for Brother Sanson. The heavenly sanctuary had to be cleansed of the sins at the end of the judgment of the dead before the judgment of the living to start, and the daily be set back into operation. That system of the judgment ended at the solemn assembly September 28, 2002, though the sanctuary was cleansed on the Day of Atonement, September 16, 2003, and the judgment of the living started on the solemn assembly September 28, 2002. Well, actually, the judgment for the living started at the Passover of 2002. So there needs to be a correction made here. The judgment of the living started, and the atonement 6 months later in 2002, September 16, 2002. That was the first judgment to fall on Gilead Center. It started at the Passover and at the atonement of 2002, September 16th, Brother Johnson, and all of those that wouldn't accept Elijah David with the restoration of the daily under the house of David, then they were judged and cut off. And so the beginning, those started at Passover 2002, and it started with the ancient men for the house, Royce W. Johnson, Ezekiel 9:6, and it started at the house of Yahweh, 1 Peter 4:17. As we have entered into the judgment for the living, we are now to restore all things as the kingdom is being set up. Yahweh is moving forward, and we are looking forward to this task. It is a great understanding, and we did not ask for it, but we are not going to shrink from our duty. We have lived all of our lives to see the end of all things, and it is the only as we rise to the task and perform our duty that we will win the final crown of eternal life. The penny a day is prepared. This is the greatest value I have ever seen placed on a mere penny. Heaven will be cheap enough. It is our prayer that as you have read this article, that you will be convinced of the truth of it, and in your heart will want to serve Yahweh with the whole heart and receive the penny reward. Sister Catherine Brompton, this brings the compilation. This brings the end of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. It's number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. John's Hill by the Elijah Davis song that I've written. Well, I'm going to as the towns are in hill, where there are no people there, only those who do not know. Want to go with me as I am filled, we can walk among the flowers and stars and others, each star the princess of soul. Want to go with me as I am, still we can walk among the flowers and fill at the beauty that is all around on Zion.